So thank you all for coming this evening, and it's been a long time since I've shared my testimony with a congregation. It's been a couple of years now, and in some ways it feels strange to talk about this person I used to be. 10 years ago now I've been converted. It was March of 2009. I'll just give you a text of scripture before we begin, because I think there's a danger sometimes with testimonies. It can be glorifying sometimes of the sin we had in our past. And I've seen sometimes, you might see it on television, people are almost joking what they did in their past, and it wasn't a glamorous and all this kind of thing. And we should realize that no matter what our background is, we all are in need of grace, regardless of who we are, regardless of whether we were raised in a Christian home or not, regardless of whether we had a drink or a drug past or not, that every single person who's in Christ Jesus, the Lord delights in. And it's not just the people with the extraordinary testimonies, as encouraging as they can be. So we aim to glorify the Lord in all these things. I'm just going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31 before we begin, just to set our minds on what's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. For you, seeing your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So, in the context of that, we pray that the Lord will be glorified in all of this. My early years, I was raised in a pretty typical Roman Catholic home. For those of you not aware, Cork, about 10 miles west of Cork City, towards a place called Macroom, if you've ever heard of it. We weren't very religious. We were a pretty typical home. We didn't really know a lot about what we believed, if I'm being honest. We went to everything. We always went to Mass. And I remember thinking as a young person, well, as long as I keep going to Mass, I'll be okay. And I won't be like my brothers and my sister, or my sisters and my brother, who sometimes maybe skip Mass. So yeah, there was a good degree of self-righteousness there, even at a young age. When I was 16, I had a pretty significant bike accident where I knocked out most of my teeth from about here to here, fell off a bike, and I remember something changing in me from that point. As it can happen to a lot of teenagers, they go through something, and I blamed God, and I noticed after that I became more and more openly at war with God. And it was kind of around the time when my love affair with metal music and various things increased, that, how they put it, my way of escaping. Things that when I was 15 scared me. I remember being 15 years old and looking at the magazines in a shop, and people with black makeup. That scared me. I was like, ugh, what's that? A year later, I was listening to it. And, I remember from that one point, just I suppose you could say, a lot of kind of depression and things like that kicked in. And then from about the age of 20, around 20, I can't remember exactly, but 20 to 24, as I've got written down here, the atheist years, and I put atheist in inverted commas, because there are no atheists. There are foolish, fallen men who deny and suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But for those years, it kind of grew and grew, and various things happened. I tried to find satisfaction in college results, and when that would fail, drink would kick in. Nothing unusual here. I mean, there's many, many people who will go to university in Cork or anywhere, or to the CIT, the Institute of Technology, and they will start off very enthusiastic about the lectures and things, and maybe some of the results don't go well or something happens, and before you know it, they're partying and drinking all the time. They thought they would find satisfaction in college, and it never really worked out like that. So I was a professing atheist for about four or five years. I remember somebody challenged me. I would have said I was a Catholic up until about the age of 19. And I remember somebody challenging me, said, "Why do you believe that?" And I just didn't have an answer. So I said, "I guess I don't believe that." And before you know it, I wasn't attending Mass anymore. And I got into darker forms of music. I won't go into all the details, but it's suffice to say it opened up very, very dark places. My rebellion against God became to the point where I knew God existed very plainly, but I just didn't want him. I hated him. And it's difficult to talk about here. There was the scary thing about a lot of modern music and even movies is they could present the devil as the good guy. And that might seem ludicrous to some of you, but if you're immersed in certain types of music, the devil is merely a symbol, and God is seen as some kind of tyrant trapping you where you are, and you're not reaching your full potential. And here's the devil with a piece of fruit. It's one of the oldest lies. And this theme actually is very prominent, you can see it in a lot of music lyrics over and over and over again. So, as like a lot of people around my age, heavy drinking, some drugs. Around summer of 2008, I began to grow conscience. I grew a little bit tired of partying all the time, and I was in bands at the time. And I wanted the music I was writing about to not be about silly things like, you know, the things that people usually write about in pop music. So I got more and more involved in politics. I got to the point where I started to see Christianity as not the enemy I thought it was. There was a number of things I discovered in my research that I was doing that the dark philosophies I was looking into, the end of that road was really, really dark. And I got to a point where my conscience kicked in and I rejected it. Or 2 months before I got saved, I remember a Roman Catholic challenged me to read the Bible. I was an atheist, still a professing atheist at the time. And he said to me, "Have you read the Bible?" And I was like, "No." And I remember being involved in political activism at the time and trying to tell him about my stuff. And I said, "Well, if I want him to listen to my things that are wrong with the world, I need to maybe read his stuff." I still remember that to this day. He wasn't a believer, But I think the Lord used that. It stuck in my head for the next 2 months. I was also fascinated with the testimony of a man who left a metal band I was listening to and became a professing Christian. I would watch it over and over and over again. And I said, it's interesting. I'm happy for him, but that's not for me. That was my response for a long time. March 2009, this is like, 10 years ago now, I hit rock bottom. I'll be honest, it's really hard to talk about because it was scary, and I won't give all the details for various reasons. I would wake up in the street. Sometimes not knowing where I was. Then I was stranded for about a week at home with my parents. Lost my car. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess, and I hit rock bottom. And I was desperate. And I'm pretty sure I probably wouldn't be alive today had I not gotten saved at that point. I was interested in a lot of things that were happening in the world. I suppose a lot of it was what you call conspiracy theories. I thought I knew how things fit together. Later I discovered I was kind of wrong on a lot of things. And but there were some things in the videos, and they would point out Bible verses. And I remember different verses like Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I was really, really burdened down for different reasons. I wasn't in my band anymore; they just fired me. And at all this free time, I always liked to be busy. So I didn't have to think. You know, we've got such a busy world today. Everybody's so busy, they don't like to think. And I remember a few days just combing through the internet, printing off article after article. What is truth? Why are we here? Okay, I'm protesting against this guy, but what makes him evil and I'm good? And I remember the night it hit me that it was like 4 a.m. I don't know what days it was. I never took track of it. But the only words I could get out of my mouth was, and I just bawled my eyes out. The only words I could get out of my mouth was, "I'm sorry." That was for 30 minutes. There was various videos that I would come across on the internet that were done by Christians, and the things that I felt deceived by in the world system, I realized the devil, you could say, was behind it. I didn't need convincing that I was evil. I needed convincing that God was good. And when that happened, that's when everything changed. I knew what evil was. Far more than I'll even dare to even share here. But as soon as I saw that he was good, he was the very definition of truth and love and righteousness, that's all I wanted. Just changed. I was so fed up with the world. By the time I got saved, I was so fed up with everything. And the first thing the Lord took from me was my desire to get drunk. And Sadly, it was not from want of trying, but I just didn't like it anymore. I lost the taste for it. I didn't like it. I felt convicted. My conscience started kicking in. Every time I would swear or say a curse word, it was like a piercing in my heart. And those first few weeks, I never came across one Christian. It's kind of an unusual testimony in that point of view. For a while, I thought I was back. I thought, I prayed as a child, as a Roman Catholic, I would pray morning, I think at least in the evening. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm back. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll follow you. And I realized pretty quickly it was different. It was just different. I went to an evangelical church for the first time the next month. I talked to people straight for like 4-5 hours. I think it was mostly me speaking. And I was like, do you believe the same things I believe? And I was like, really? And I was like, there's other people who believe this book. And I was so happy. I thought Born Again was a denomination. I didn't have a clue. I had no idea. I knew less than zero. But I remember when I got saved, it was purely, I was like, I'm evil. God is good. And my only hope is in Him. And I didn't know much more than that. I knew, I went back to the Roman Catholic Church for one mass. And I was looking around going, where's the Bible? There's no reference to Scripture. Where is this in the Bible? So I didn't go back again. Those Christians who I first met, they encouraged me. I remember somebody saying to me, isn't it great to know you'll definitely be in heaven? I was like, really? And I was like, okay. Try not to sound silly in front of people. Sometimes you don't want to admit something you don't know. So I remember going home that night, just digging up every YouTube video I could dig up on the issue, reading anything I could find in the Bible on the issue, and honestly just crying my eyes out when I realized he'd done it all. So I think I probably spent a lot of the first 6 months weeping over what I had done for him. I think we can think of, I suppose it was easy for me to see how heinous my sins were and are, because they were so overt. They were so obvious. So we'll talk a little bit about how I became an RP and how I grew for those first few while. People encouraged me. I was in kind of fundamentalist churches probably from about 2009 to about 2012. That's where myself and my wife met. And we're going on a similar journey. We were kind of going the same direction. And I felt the call to ministry pretty quickly, but I didn't know what it was at the beginning. My energy, I think I spent most of my time doing website things, trying to share the gospel, because that's how I got saved. And I've heard of people have emailed me that they've told me that they got saved through internet-based things as well. Now, the internet is great, but I think it's a good supplement. I think nothing replaces that interaction on the street. The Great Commission should be through the church mainly. But for those first few years, I remember I heard the minister in Cork where I was talking about being called into the ministry, called to preach, and I fought against it. I'm not a natural speaker. When I was a child, I would freeze. Not a word could come out of my lips. I wasn't the outgoing kid when I was growing up. I was probably about 19 before I kind of came out of myself. And I was pretty quiet until that point. I got sick of being the quiet person. And you might say maybe I'm overcompensating now. But but for those first few years, I kind of fought against it. I said, I kind of got restless in Cork and said, okay, I need to do something. Didn't really have a direction in my life. And decided to go and, through talking with some of my friends, go to Italy, maybe learn Italian, go study in Europe, and maybe put it towards some Christian outlook and maybe write some things from a Christian point of view. I knew I wanted to serve the Lord, but I just said, not this way. So I kind of didn't want to submit to it for a while. When I was in Italy, I came across a church that was like a big family to me, and really embraced me, really helped me, going from a guy who was a bit all over the place to, I felt really settled there. And while I have moved away from the theological position, Arminian they were, and dispensationalist, at the same time, I think it was there where I finally said, Lord, if you want me to serve in the ministry, I'll do it. I think it was about 2011. And after that point, I just had peace about it. And the door kept closing. I tried a couple of colleges for different reasons. Some moral reasons on the part of the college. I didn't feel comfortable with some of the men who were teaching in the college. So there's various different doors, and I was wondering, am I truly called? But I just said, Lord, if you really, really want me to go in, just open the door and I'll go through it. So from about 2011, I basically been spending most of my time, most of my life, just thinking about preaching and teaching and trying not to think about it, if I was being honest, because I was afraid in case I was thinking about something that might never happen. This is kind of why I pinch myself every day that I'm in the college, because it's something I've been thinking about for years and I still feel like I'm dreaming. When I talk about the way I was before I was saved, it feels like I'm talking about a younger brother, some clueless teenager who died. A friend of mine met up with me for coffee 2 years after I got saved. And she, I think it was about a year after I got saved, we sat down, we were talking about things. I think I shared maybe the gospel with her. She just looked at me. She said, you are completely different. I was so glad to hear that. I knew I wouldn't get through this without crying a few times. I never wanted to go back to that life ever again. There's so many other things I could say about that, but I'll leave it if you've got questions on it. Over from about since I submitted to the call in my own heart and before the Lord, I spent the different years, I never quite settled. I wasn't dispensationalism. I wasn't completely convinced of it. It was, it's only this one verse? Okay. Aren't there more? So I wanted to study this out. And the more I studied it out, the more doubts I had. And the more I went in a reformed direction. And just through basically reading the Bible over and over again and reading different works and comparing scripture with scripture, I had more and more doubts about the position and the Baptist position I was in. And I was getting more and more convinced of, well, what eventually I realized was taught in the Westminster Confession of Faith, but I didn't realize it at the time. The Lord has been gracious to me and my wife and my children. If you had met me in 2008, I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have children. I was a pretty rubbish uncle. And one of the first things that changed as soon as I got saved, I loved spending time with my niece. For the first time in my life. I wasn't bored. I wasn't texting, trying to get out the door, go to the next party or whatever it was. I was content. My sister would ask me, "Don't you want to go out?" I said, "No. My family's right here." I have so many things to thank the Lord for. I'm thankful that I'm just alive and breathing today. Do you have any questions?